My drink's too cold. Damn.
Have no fear.
Whoa.
I am here.
Oh.
I can warm your drink. Let me wrap my hands around
okay.
it.
Okay, that's okay.
This is my superpower.
Wow.
Shut up.
Okay, are you doing it?
I'm just putting my hands around it.
Okay.
Can you take a sip and tell me
still,
if that?
Yeah, it's still a little chilly. Mm. Still a little cold.
Okay, hang on.
What's your time frame?
Couple. I don't want to make any commitments.
Okay, all right. You know, I think, it's warm now. I'll just take that back quick.
Another day saved.
Okay.
And
this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
podcast where we answer your super questions.
I'm Captain Nick.
And I'm just a normal civilian John.
You're the extra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about today, John?
We're talking about
superheroes.
I don't know why I said that in
like
Japanese.
Like Shredder? Like Splinter?
Oh, maybe.
You kind of sound like Splinter.
I was doing like a Japanese accent because I've been watching a lot of My Hero Academia.
Okay.
Which is like the best superhero anime ever made.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty pretty good.
Yeah, I started reading it recently. But I was thinking a lot about it, and I just happened to come across some articles that were like...
Everybody has to read it, Nick. It's in another language.
What?
Idiot. It's called subtitles.
No, I listen to dubs.
Dummy.
I listen to dubs.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't.
I'm sorry for calling you an idiot. I didn't mean that.
I take it back. I came across a couple articles that were like 13 humans with real life X-Men mutant superpowers, or what else do we have? 7 actual superpowers certain humans have due to genetic mutations. And then you open it up and it's like, mm-hmm. They can remember things really well. they can run for a really long time. So not only do I think it's ridiculous to compare these so-called superpowers to X-Men superpowers,
yeah,
but it's still very interesting as you like dive into this. So I thought it'd be really fun to explore these and compare them to like X-Men superpowers.
This is a great idea, and I think that we should do a full episode on exploring how, you know, there's a myth that cops have quotas for tickets.
Yeah,
there's definitely quotas for writers.
Yeah,
and they have to say, oh man, I need 5 more blocks.
Yeah.
And maybe we stumbled upon one today.
I think so.
But hey, we're talking about
it,
so it worked.
I mean, these are still interesting. Like I think that some of these things have become pretty common knowledge, like super tasters. I think a lot of people know about that, but like and super memory, but people don't know like the stats around it, and human sonar, these kinds of things, unbreakable bones. These are just like cool.
Yeah.
That's all that they are. I mean, they're nowhere near like being able to shoot beams out of your eyes or control the weather, but they are pretty cool.
We'll get there with tech.
Yes, someday.
Mm-hmm.
But not probably because of genes.
Yeah.
Unless you have high tech genes.
Ooh.
Like the best genist from My Hero Academia. So I've put these in order of least superpower to most superpower. And I figure we could start off with super census.
Yeah, the ability to check how many people are voting.
That's
super
that's
census.
A census.
I am super census.
I'm super census.
54% Democratic.
We could only hope. So we've all heard about people who lose their eyesight and then like their other like their sense of smell skyrockets. Like they can tell who you are just based on how you smell and you walk up to them, or how like someone will lose their hearing and their sight is heightened.
Yeah.
This like super senses that I'm going to talk about go beyond that on a genetic level. There's people out there called super tasters. I want to take just a wild guess at what super tasters are.
Super tasters. Like, is it short for Taylor?
No.
And then
no.
Stirs. Like, they stir pot. Super tasters. Super tay.
This bit's going nowhere. So most people have 13 to 35 taste buds within a 6 millimeter area on their tongue. So like within the area of a pencil eraser is what I saw. they have 15 to 35 taste bud receptors on that area. There are some people out there, about 25% of the population, that have a higher concentration of taste buds in that same area, just above 35. These people...
Cilantro.
They might like cilantro. they probably don't like cilantro. These people are called super tasters, and they've been blessed with a mutation of the TAS2R38 gene, which I know means everything to you. So it's not much of like a superpower, but these people... usually, like, everything is more sweet or bitter or savory or salty or whatever, sour, whatever. That's ones a, I've missed.
Like, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but they also, like, there is a curse to being a super taster. They report things like broccoli or spinach as being bitter, which isn't a taste that I would associate with broccoli or spinach. Mm-hmm. They also, like, tend to put salt on way more things to cancel out some of the other flavors. One of the other things, on the opposite end, there's like the villain of the story is people with less than 15 taste buds in this area that are called non-tasters. And things will taste exceptionally bland compared to other people. They'd be like, why do people think this is so great when it's not that great?
That's super sad.
Yeah, but it also might explain why some people can handle like spicier foods than other people.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have as many taste receptors on their tongue.
Ooh, that's a whole nother metric.
Yeah.
And it's all based on dumb stuff like masculinity.
Yeah. But that's just getting into the patriarchy.
Yeah.
There are some other senses out there that are pretty cool, like super sight. This one's pretty simple. Like, not like you have good vision. Most when it comes to color vision, most people have trichromacy.
I wish.
I know you don't, but most people have three types of cones in their eyes, and that, I mean, you don't because you're colorblind. But if you have trichromacy, you can see about 1 million colors thanks to the three different color receptors in your eyes. There's a small portion of the population
called
pistol shrimps that can see ultraviolet. I don't know where you're going with that.
Yeah, that's what they could do.
They're about 12% of females, and I couldn't find a number of males who have four cone receptors, and these are people with tetrachromacy, and they're able to see close to 100 million colors.
Jeez, yeah. That's a big up.
That is a big up, and it's a genetic mutation, and it's far more common in people with 2X chromosomes. Chromosomes. I always pronounce that wrong. I want to make sure I say it right, and that's because... If there's a defect in the X chromosome and you have another healthy X chromosome, it'll make up for the damage done to your genetic code. However, if you have a defect in the X chromosome and you have a Y chromosome, it's not going to make up for that damage because it doesn't have the same genetic markers. It's not going to repair your color blindness.
Yeah.
But that's also why people with 2X chromosomes are more likely to have tetrachromacy. And from my understanding, it doesn't provide much. Like, you don't see infrared or anything or ultraviolet. You just kind of see more, like, finer detail in objects and images and stuff.
So you could be, like, a super art appreciator. Yeah.
So it's not so helpful in the way of a superpower.
To me, that's a super superpower. That would freak me out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it looks like to see normal.
You can see, like... 500,000 colors. I don't know how many colors you can see.
Maybe probably less, but can I just dispel a myth that there are magic glasses that will make me see colors?
Yeah.
Because everybody gets excited for me and says, oh, you should try that. Doesn't work.
I think we talked about that on the colorblind episode, right?
Yeah, like a year or two ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
So those put a filter on everything, so it's easier for me to tell the difference between them.
Yeah.
I don't have them. I've never tried them. I think they'd be fun. But
they're not going to be like, you can't see red now.
They don't inject cones in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish they could. Maybe down the road. I'd like to.
We talked about that too.
Yeah.
In like the CRISPR gene editing episode.
Yeah, crisp my eyeballs, please.
Crisp them. Make them crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Deep fry those eyeballs.
Yep.
There's also super recognizing. This isn't really, I mean, it's kind of a sense. We have more than five senses. I just want to dispel that.
I know you from somewhere.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So we're not exactly what causes super recognizing, but about 1% of the population are super recognizers. And these people, like, cannot, they can tell you, like, that person's been in this movie and this movie. Like, when you're like, what else have they been in? They'll be like, oh, I know. But they can also be like, hey, I bumped in this person at a Subway sandwich shop 5 years ago, and I remember you from that encounter. Yeah. Like, that's the level that this goes to.
I might have like 10% of that.
Yeah.
When it comes to getting to a place.
Yeah.
Like, as far as directions go, I always remember how to get back places.
Yeah. I remember faces, I think, pretty well. Like, there's times where I was like, where do I know that guy from? Oh, he changed my oil a month ago. Or we went to the library and this woman was there and I was like, oh, she was in our birthing class. And Shelby, my wife, was like, what? I was like, she was in our parenting birthing class that we went to when you were pregnant. She's like, okay. She's like, how can you know? I was like, well, her boy was the same age as Rory. Anyway.
Hey, little Sherlock.
Yeah. So this is getting into like superhero territory because the FBI has actually hired super recognizers to be like, here's a picture of this person of interest, go through this surveillance footage and see if you can point them out, or stand guard at this crowded event and see if you can point out their face. So I mean, this is cool. Actually useful.
Yeah.
What's also useful is the last super
he's wearing a shirt that's kind of maroon but a little bit red. Let's hire the super seers.
they have tetrachromacy.
Yeah,
they have super recognizing. It turns out they also are a super sniffer. I just had to transition there. There are super smellers out there. Apparently I learned that a lack of good smell, the opposite of being a super smeller, can be an indicator for depression or an early indicator for Alzheimer's. A concussion can also give you smelling issues. Did you ever have issues smelling things?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. My house smelled really good that week.
Oh, okay. Maybe you had the opposite effect. Yeah. But apparently there's some sort of genetic mutation that like adds more, I don't know, development to the olfactory portion of the brain, which gives people hyperosmia. Let's go with one of those. This allows people to easily pick up on just different chemical scents, the particles in the air that create scents than others. And this, like on the dumb end, this could allow people to like become better wine tasters or something.
Yeah, this all kind of leads into like the super elite. Like, oh, I'm going to look at art with my colorful eyes, with my tetra.
But, what if,
okay,
this is something that they're doing out there, and this doesn't require super smellers, but in China, they have people that have been trained to sniff out pollution. So they bring
they
in
just
bags.
Go as hard as they can until it's gone?
No. they bring in bags from all over the place in China. They have these people, like, open them up, give them a good whiff, and then determine pollution levels in that area of the city.
Okay.
So they're trained to like pick up on like smog chemicals or whatever and say, well, the pollution's really bad in the northeast side of the city or whatever.
Man, I hope they get some like antioxidants after that.
Yeah, apparently it's a pretty dangerous job because you're sniffing.
Oh yeah, this one has lead poisoning in the air.
Actually is lead in the air.
Yeah.
But the coolest person out of this entire section of the episode is Joy Milne, who can smell Parkinson's in people's sweat.
No!
Yeah. She's super cool. I'm just going to read what the Smithsonian had to say, because I don't think there's any better way to put it than this. To test Milne's sense of smell, one of the researchers asked her to classify 12 shirts worn by a mixture of healthy individuals and patients diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Those results were impressive. Not only did she identify all 6 of the shirts belonging to the Parkinson's sufferers, but as one of the researchers notes, she also picked out a shirt worn by a test subject who wasn't diagnosed with Parkinson's until 8 months after the experiment.
Whoa.
So she's got a 100% success rate with this, plus some.
Yeah.
She was able to die, and I think it happened when like her husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and she noticed a change in smell and discovered this crazy ability to be able to sniff out Parkinson's.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that nuts?
Nuts. It's horrible. And it's opened me up to a whole world of despair as far as like Glade plug-in scents go. Nick, I have the disease line. I'm terrified, Nick. Thanks for ruining my day.
On a more serious note, like they can figure out like what's going on in her brain when she smells this and identify the chemicals that create this smell and hopefully be able to diagnose people with Parkinson's earlier.
Maybe do
on.
Early prevention for other things.
Yeah.
Do other diseases have scents?
Maybe.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's like my favorite part of this of the super
that's
senses.
That's practical too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's all I got for super senses. Any questions, class?
Yeah, is there still a 2-for-1 special on Alzheimer's? Glade plugins. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Here's a coupon.
Terrible.
I was trying to do Foley work, but I don't have any paper.
I get freaked out by scent. So the fact that like something that is scary to many humans is disease.
Yeah.
Has a scent it's cool that she has that and then she's able to identify it, but it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. You know what's not terrifying?
What's that?
The next superpower I have.
Oh boy.
I think we've talked a lot about we talked about it like briefly a couple weeks ago. About monks that can raise their body temperatures. Were you here for that?
I think so.
I don't remember. But there's like certain people out there that just through meditation can raise their body temperatures. And I think for a long time, people thought it was just a myth.
I got a story with a personal story to share after.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a professor at Harvard named Herbert Benson, Professor Herbert Benson, who's been studying this phenomenon for like 20 plus years with a specific group of Buddhist monks in the northern part of India. I was like, that's weird. I thought most Indians practiced Hindu. Apparently in the northern part of India, there's like 0.0% of the population practice Buddhism. I had to look that up.
0.07%?
0.07%.
Oh, okay.
It's like the very northernmost part, which is also helpful because these people are in like nearly freezing temperatures at this Buddhist monastery that he's been studying. And these monks have a meditation.
Was like, oh, I forgot my jacket. Yeah, give me a sec. All right, I'm good.
I'm good. They have this meditation technique called Ji Tum Mo, where they can raise their body temperature 17 degrees, aka a really bad fever. And they do this using vase breathing, which I think I've talked about before. I don't know that I described what it is, but they also do like a concentrated visualization by focusing on like some sort of imagery, like a flame or something like that. But it all comes down to the vase breathing, apparently, which you inhale, you hold your breath, you isometrically contract your abdominal and pelvic muscles, so your belly looks sort of like a vase. That's where it gets its name.
Like diaphragmic breathing, like singers do.
Yes, and but lower, a little bit lower. And that's said to be the powerhouse of the heat source. And it works. These people raise their body temperature 17 degrees.
That's ridiculous.
Just crazy. Like they would put these people in nearly freezing temperatures, cover them in wet, cold sheets, and they would, like in a couple hours, they would dry them off with their body heat, which is nuts. There's also a Dutch fitness instructor.
I feel bad for the control in that experiment. Just like, this is a bummer.
He's not alive anymore. It's not a big deal.
Oh, no.
There's a Dutch fitness instructor named Wim Hof who teaches the Hof technique. He has guided meditations and breathing exercises for sale on his website if you're interested. But this is the skinny of the situation from Discovery Magazine. While sitting in a comfortable place, take 30 quick, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your mouth. Then take a deep breath and exhale. Hold until you need to breathe in. Inhale again as deep as you can and hold it for 10 seconds. Repeat as many times as you like. And during these breathing exercises, you'll also just go into freezing temperatures, just like the monks. And he's been able to prove thermogenesis, often sitting on top of mountains shirtless or climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in 28 hours, mostly shirtless, which usually takes like 48 days or something crazy.
Mostly shirtless.
Yeah, so he was shirtless for most of the climb, and then I guess
he's just like one strap fell off. Ooh, it fell off. It looks muscular.
No, he reattached his shirt when he got too cold, I guess.
Okay.
As far as
that, what you call it? Do you wake up in the morning and reattach your shirt?
Yeah.
And then go to work? Okay.
I was trying to think of the most like clinically and unappetizing way to say that. As far as I've been able to tell, no one really knows why this happened scientifically. The best guess is it creates adrenaline that triggers a heightened immune system response and warms your body.
I got one.
Yeah.
I donate blood regularly, right?
Uh-huh.
Plasma.
Yeah.
I went in and my blood pressure was high.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, your blood pressure is super high today. You're not going to be able to donate. They have to set a timer for 5 minutes to make you sit down.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back and then they tell you, okay, we gave it a shot. You know, you have to go home.
Yeah.
Like 100% of the time. You're not going to get your blood pressure down in 5 minutes. So I sat down, I put on my headphones, which are noise canceling, and I meditated for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and she was like blown away. My blood pressure went down enough to donate.
Yeah, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They just meditate and gain control over their body. So how can a superhero use this, John?
You can ruin a kid's igloo. You can go into igloo and meditate and melt it. That's what you get, millennial.
That stole from the local village.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta speed through these, don't we?
Oh, people hate when a podcast that they love goes long.
I know. No, the next one's kind of fast. It's just super memory. There are people out there that claim to have incredible memory, but actually just like have really good memorization techniques. Like they might just use mnemonics.
Phonetic, yeah.
Or rehearsal. But there's a very, very, very tiny section of the population that actually has weird, incredible, I shouldn't say weird, just incredible memory powers. There's a type of memory called hyperthymesia, which is an autobiographical memory. Apparently only 61 people in the world have it, and they can recall a much larger percent of the events within their life with incredible detail. People with hyperthymesia are often usually better at recalling events that happened after they were 10 years old for some reason, and they show a lot of obsessive compulsive behaviors. There's also the term thrown around eidetic memory, which is supposedly a photographic memory. Humans don't have photographic memory. We'll never have a perfect photographic memory, but it's the closest we'll ever get in humans. It typically occurs in children, about 2 to 15% of children, which is a wide, they're just like, whatever.
2 to 15.3% of children.
Yeah. And research shows that it basically doesn't exist in adults, so take that, Big Bang Theory. And if it does, it doesn't exist at the caliber we see in children. There's not a lot of research on this because only 61 people in the world have hyperthymesia. So the best, like,
what age do you start losing it?
Hyperthymesia, you don't lose. Eidetic memory, you lose it like on the onset of puberty, I believe. Uh-huh. But they hooked up, like, the best thing we've done is we hooked someone up with hyperthymesia to an MRI machine and just saw a higher than normal activity in the occipital lobe, which is just like the vision center of your brain, at the back of your brain,
yeah,
right here. That I'm hitting. Everyone can see that.
Yeah, don't hit
one,
too
right?
hard. Your eyes will go crossed and you'll get stuck that way.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, that increased activity has some sort of connection to incredible memory, which I classify this in the superpower of like super recognizer. This would really be really good for like a super lawyer, like Phoenix Wright.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a professional witness,
or
expert
that dude
witness.
From, the other animal.
Detective Pikachu.
That one, yep. That's not an anime.
Oh.
But that kid, what's his name?
Professor Layton. Oh, I haven't seen that. The next one is super cool. You know what bats are, right?
I've heard of them. I've seen them, actually.
You know how they move around?
Really fast into each other. I saw a meme today.
Oh,
that
no.
we saw bats were really good at dodging each other for being blind.
Yeah.
And then we got high-speed cameras and started studying them further, and we realized they just crash into each other all day.
Yeah, and they don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bats, there's this misconception out there, thanks to the fake news and media, that bats have really bad vision. Turns out they have just about as good vision as every other mammal, but they get this misconception thanks to echolocation, which is something they use in tandem with their sight, but they're also nocturnal, and their eyes don't work very great in the dark, so they use echolocation to navigate through the dark, maybe crash into each other, but mostly to find insects and eat them and not run into things.
You try flying as fast as you can and grabbing a mesquite in your mouth.
Exactly. You try.
Yeah, there you go.
Some birds, dolphins, and whales also use echolocation. And, as it turns out...
And echo the dolphin does.
Of course. Yep. Great Sega game.
Hard game.
It turns out some humans do, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about this. So echolocation, for those that don't know, is...
What? This might be the funniest one.
Ah! No!
Oh, no, there's a wall in front of me!
So, for those that don't know, echolocation...
Ah! There's a wall right there. I bet you didn't know that.
You don't have to be so loud.
Okay, sorry. I'm just really excited about echolocation.
So then you tell me what echolocation is. You scream at a wall and you know it's there.
I screamed twice and I know there's a wall at least 10 feet in front of me, like 3 feet behind you.
So echolocation is making like small clicking sounds or high, like if you're a bat, you make high pitched sounds. And you listen back to the sound that's returned off of the objects around you, and the brain interprets that into spatial data. Like in your brain, you can create an
image. I used to try to do this in a pool underwater.
If you could
see how far I was from the wall, I used to snap.
You could probably figure it out.
Yeah.
So when you click and the click comes back, the brain can tell how far away the object is by how long it takes for the echo to return. Then, depending on how big the echo is, that can tell you the size of the object. Like a small little mosquito has a small surface area, so the echo that's returned is going to be small, whereas a wall is going to be a huge echo. There's a huge surface area to bounce off of. But the brain can also tell if the objects are moving closer or farther away, thanks to the Doppler effect. So if the echo returns and the pitch is slightly higher, that means the object is moving toward you. And if it returns and it's a lower pitch, then the object is moving away from you.
I want to like practice this now, because I'm pretty good with understanding pitch.
Here's the cool thing is that anyone can learn this. I'm going to get to that. So as far as a superpower goes, this can be, of course, utilized.
Everybody's here. This is like the Avengers.
No. Like this would be utilized message. Like freaking Daredevil. You can use this to fight people in the dark, right? But it turns out echolocation isn't perfect. Like the spatial information you receive back is like in a video game, like on the N64, where it's really foggy. There's not a big draw distance and there's no textures loaded on anything and no detail loaded on it. There's also some materials that would obviously be misleading, like a pane of glass would show up as a solid surface where you can see through it. Or inversely, for whatever reason, fleece fabric doesn't show up with echolocation, so you might find yourself tangled up in a sweater.
Oh, boy, howdy. What a travesty.
Yeah, and I got the vision earlier of Daredevil just being like, I'm gonna get you, Kingpin.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you avoid ninjas. That's how you avoid ninjas that practice this.
Yeah, they'll run away like, I don't want to mess with this guy. Anyway, so there's this guy named Daniel Kish. He's a blind man and the president of World Access for the Blind. And he actually goes around the world teaching blind people how to use echolocation. This is a skill that anyone can acquire. You don't have to be blind. People with sight can do it as well. Mm-hmm. There's a video on YouTube of him teaching people if you want to start learning how to do this. But I think it's cool because it's not something that has to be a genetic trait. Anyone can learn echolocation, which is just crazy to me.
Let's give it a go.
All right, you try it.
Turn the lights off.
No, just close your eyes. You can just close your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
there's this thing built into your body.
All right, I'm doing it. You've got a blue crayon in the bucket next to me on the floor.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah. No. Robin's egg blue. Okay.
You're colorblind.
Yeah.
You can see colors right, no matter what.
I can see colors with my tongue.
What a weird sentence that was. The last one I have here is pretty short, but it's very important to bring up for two reasons. This is maybe the most superhero-ish one that we have, both in a meta sense and a textbook sense.
Cool. The inability to get cut in half, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Oh. I mean, almost.
We'll get to that.
So you know how in every superhero or sci-fi movie, they're like, no one can know about my superpower. They're going to dissect me and try to figure out how I work. They'll run tests on me or whatever. Well, that kind of happened. Like, I used to think, like, that's stupid. But then I came across this family that had that happen to them.
Oh, no.
There's this family from Connecticut that they have a mutation in the LRP5 gene, which, again, I know means everything to you, that has prompted a bunch of researchers to be like, can I get some of that? Any guesses as to what this mutation is? Because I know that LRP5 means everything.
LRP5.
Yeah.
That must be the bone gene, Nicholas.
You cheated. I gave you notes. Yeah. So there's their mutation in the LRP5 gene gives them a larger bone density, causing what a bunch of scientists are causing unbreakable bones. Obviously, they're not unbreakable, but like it takes takes like 300 pounds of pressure to break a femur. It would take like 1,000 pounds of pressure to break their femur. Some side effects include a wide jaw and a bony palate.
Ooh.
Like they had this, you know, the palate on the top of your mouth.
Yeah,
they get a bony growth on that.
They're like little dinosaur people. They could grind up dinosaurs like spinach on it.
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
They're probably such good chewers.
So I think like the discovery story in this is kind of interesting. Two separate doctors had patients with abnormally high bone density referred to them, and these two doctors just started talking and were like, huh, that's weird. So they looked at both of these patients' family trees.
Like, they're Triceratops.
Yeah. Well, they looked at these both patients' family trees and found out that they were related.
Oh,
so they
boy.
Went to this family in Connecticut.
With a hacksaw in hand.
With a hacksaw in hand and said, hand over your blood or we'll take it by force. They bothered 20 of these family members, got them to send in blood samples to study. Not only because like Unbreakable Bones is pretty cool and definitely a superpower, but also because they think that it might lead to some advancements in studying osteoporosis.
Yeah.
Because this family has a severe, deterrent to osteoporosis. So they think that if they're able to sequence their DNA, split these people open, they might be able to make some osteoporosis medication.
Neat.
Yeah.
I hope they got paid really well.
But at the same time, it's like,
I hope they didn't get cut open.
Right. Why Spider-Man doesn't want people to figure out why he can stick to walls.
Mm-hmm.
So they can make some sort of duct tape out of it.
How old is Spider-Man?
Canonically, I think he's 28.
Okay.
It's off the top of my head. Now I have to Google it. How old is Peter Parker? 28! I got it right, my friend.
Okay.
Time, 1 year progresses for every 4 or 5 years in the Marvel Universe, so that's why he's
so he was never
age.
Spider-Teen?
He was for one issue, the first one.
Okay.
He was, 16 when he got bit, and then it, like, does a jump skip to when he's in college.
Okay.
So, there you go. So, what do you think of these superpowers? Definitely X-Men, right?
Yeah. Is this is our five, huh?
That's our five.
Okay.
Which one do you think is the most X-Men like?
Being able to see colors is pretty cool.
Maybe. Yeah. After the break, I found some really crappy X-Men powers that I think we can actually compare to this list. Should we take a quick break and we can come back and talk about those?
Well, let's do that. Can you warm this drink for me?
Yes, I can. How's your drink, Jonathan?
It's about the same. Where can people find us, Nick?
They can find us at StrangerStillShow.com.
You could also go to our Facebook group where we do little democratic polls to find out what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to. Jeez.
You should also leave us a review. That should be your superpower. What are you doing?
The ability to make us feel proud of
yeah.
you and us.
Yeah. What a great
and spread
way to
scientific
save
awareness.
My stupid statement.
Yeah.
I scoured the internet.
Okay.
For the worst X-Men powers that I could find.
Right.
I definitely didn't steal these from other lists. I've only come across two of these in my readings. I think, Elliot Kalin of Flophouse podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a mini series of the X-Men and Spider-Man, and a lot of really stupid superpowers show up in that comic, and I love it. It's so good.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I have a couple of them. I should let you borrow them. But one of the ones that show up in there, I believe, is Glob Herman, who just has invisible skin. That's the superpower.
Gross.
There's also Gold Balls, who becomes like a pretty important character in Ultimate Spider-Man. Take a guess at what Gold Ball's powers is.
I don't think I want to know about it.
He can shoot gold balls from his body.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Well,
that's his power.
I'm glad that it wasn't what I originally thought. I'll just say that. I used to want to grow my fingernails at will.
Yeah.
Up to like 6 inches, maybe.
Yeah, so it's not even
gross
like
after that.
Not even like Wolverine. You can just get 6 inches out.
Yeah,
and call
it would only
day.
Take like an hour.
Yeah,
or I could do it like I could like be tied down and then like open a door across the room.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that'd be
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Or like if you were kidnapped and you had a rope around you, you could
look
saw
fabulous.
It off. Yeah.
Well, I'd,
oh, okay.
While I wait for a rescue.
We've got Eye Scream. EYE Scream.
His eyes can scream?
No. Take another guess at I Scream's power. He showed up in one issue.
I Scream. Oh, boy. I'm going to just like stick to the same thing. He could turn his eyes into mouths?
No, he can turn into any ice cream flavor. Next, Ugly John.
Oh,
I'm not making fun of you.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Okay, I was upset for a half a second.
Do you want to take a guess at what his power
can
is?
Can he turn ugly at will?
No, he's just permanently ugly. Well, he's okay. That's not his
that's
superpower.
<mine. laughs>
His superpower is that he has three faces on his one face.
Okay.
It's not even like a chimera where it's like face, face, face. It's like face, face.
Oh, they're all just like kind of
yeah,
next to each other?
They're all stacked on top of each other.
Okay.
The last one that Last one I have here. It's a superhero named Long Neck. Want to take a guess at their power?
He can tie his neck in a bow. He says long neck.
He just has a long neck.
Isn't he a meme? I think I saw with short neck. Let me see. Yeah, short neck and long neck kid. Do you remember them?
No.
They teamed up and did YouTube videos together.
Oh.
They became rappers.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. This like scrawny kid that's on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, he's like really good at swallowing.
Yeah.
It takes him a long time.
It does it?
Yeah, it takes him like an extra like
little foot
0.5 seconds. Yeah, he does look like Little Foot from my
That's what came up on my search for him. Oh, man. Man, there's a bunch of other really bad, like, the worst X-Men powers ever, but they're like, this person can turn into diamonds. How would that be useful? I was like, that's still a superpower.
Yeah.
Shooting gold balls from yourself is a superpower, but that's just stupid. Having a long neck is decidedly not a superpower. Having three faces is definitely not a superpower unless it lets you see in, like, four dimensions. So, anyway.
If I had a long neck, I'd get a draft tattoo on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
That'd
giraffes
be pretty sweet.
Are great animals.
Or just like a whole book, because I could fit it.
Yeah. All 7 Harry Potter books.
Oh, man.
There you go.
At least the Sorcerer's Stone.
At least. It's the Philosopher's Stone.
Okay, you Brit.
Got anything else?
That's all I got.
Sweet. Well, in that case, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
Oh, you did it. You did the thing. And this is
Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.